what's the Wicked Witch after? The shoes. But we've got them here, don't we? She can't get us because we've got our spiritual capacities. That's what our ruby slippers are, and I'm stepping right into them for all of us. So that witch is after the ruby slippers, and she wants to thwart. She's like, you know, that egoic part of us who sort of wants to thwart our progress, that wants to get in the way of our journey to the divine and to the waking up to the essence of who we are. So she's brilliant with this seductive field of poppies, isn't she? I mean, they're beautiful, and they take over the whole yellow brick road, and there's nothing to do but to begin to run across them and then get very sleepy in the distraction, you know? Anybody have a field of poppies, a seductive field of poppies? Yeah, we all do, right? We have our favorites, I bet. And there's so many ways they show up, aren't there? You know, collectively for all of us, the things that can kind of lull us to sleep. And especially when we are almost there on the journey. You know, we can see Emerald City. We can see the glory and the grandeur of what we signed up for and what we've been guided to. And then it's sort of that, oh, but there's a poppy. You know, kind of like, oh, there's a butterfly. It's sort of that kind of sudden distraction, right? And so what are the kinds of seductive poppies or distractions that might lure us in? Well, maybe it's food or, you know, chocolate, for example. I just had chocolate mousse the other night, and I was like, boy, was that seductive when I saw that on the menu, you know? Or it could be, you know, drugs or alcohol or some kind of altering of your state of mind. Or it might be consumerism. Do you remember when we used to be called citizens? Remember that? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather step into the shoes of the global citizen than the consumer. Yeah? And so it's for us to awaken to those sleepy kinds of spells that are cast upon the masses, you know, and to recognize, oh, I could choose differently. I could choose the kind of term and the kind of job description and the kind of purpose that really awakens me, that when I get up in the morning, I want to put on my ruby slippers and go out in there in the world and embody the global citizen, not so much the consumer. I mean, we consume goods and we make goods because they, you know, it's part of our ingenuity and our creativity, and they're of use. And you know, I'm always amazed at how they keep making camping gear more and more innovative. It's crazy. I mean, some of the things, I just sit and marvel when I'm looking at these things. I know, Carl, you can relate to this. I say, wow, somebody like came up with this idea, and it's just fabulous, and it's so convenient, you know. But we can also get lured to sleep with all of that, right? We've got to have the latest and the greatest, whatever it is, and replace all this stuff. And where's all the stuff going? You know, like Julia Butterfly Hill once said, the environmentalist, when you say I'm going to throw it away, where is away? It's not very far away, you know, it's right here. The stuff stays with us. But we don't need that stuff to enter the Emerald City. We don't need that stuff to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so if we could release ourselves from some of that stuff and some of those distractions and some of those seductive poppies, we will be freed to move through the pearly gates into the next realm of our consciousness, right here on earth, right now in the lifetime. Yes? Jean Houston, the author of the book we're using called The Wizard of Us, Transformational Lessons from Oz, says, the seductive poppies seem like quick fixes, but actually in reality they neutralize our senses and they dull our creativity and numb our creativity rather and dull our drive. And so it is when we kind of let ourselves go to those old habits and distractions, whatever they may be, or what the latest and greatest collective sleepiness is that we go with, you know, and allow ourselves to be distracted with, We're really numbing our creativity and our emotions and our passion and our essence, you know? It's kind of like we put a little wet blanket over everything. And then everything just sort of settles into this kind of sleepy mediocrity. But that's not who we came to be. That's not who we were guided to be. Remember Dorothy, when she moves from the realm of Kansas City in its black and white, dreary, depression era, Dust Bowl times into Technicolor Oz. And how does she get there? She sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow. She dreams it into being. There's got to be another realm. There's got to be another place. There's got to be another way of life. I need more. I want more. Something is bursting and awakening in me. And she speaks it and sings it into being. And before you know it, she's been transported into Technicolor Oz, a whole nother realm. But the thing is, it's not very far away either. You know, it's like right here. We're coming upon Halloween. And Halloween is that time when they say the veil is the thinnest. You know, so it's coming into that, you know, we celebrate with, you know, spooky things and the Wicked Witch and all these kinds of things, which is all a part of it, right? Because it's the wholeness, but it's also that realm is right there. You know, we can see it, we can taste it, we can touch it, you know, we can actually experience it with the senses and certainly with the sixth sense, that knowing, that feeling, the intuition. And that's what really pulls us along. So when Dorothy starts out and she lands in Oz, remember that colorful bubble that just sort of like bops through the air and then out of it bursts Glinda, the good witch of the north? That is Dorothy's, what Jean Houston would call entelechy. It's a Greek term, which is basically her higher power. It's a reflection of her in her highest form. And Glinda tells Dorothy, gives her exact instructions of what to do. Dorothy doesn't know what to do now. She's in this other realm. Everything's new. There's munchkins, and everything's bright technicolor, and wow, Kansas is a long, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? That's the famous line she's suddenly realizing. But it's delightful. So what now? And Glinda tells her, and the munchkins sing to her, follow the yellow brick road. All the little thoughts and feelings begin to align with the truth that the divine is telling us. Follow the yellow brick road. Go this way. So whatever it is that the divine has whispered into your ear or your heart at some point along the journey, you may have forgotten. Or somewhere along the journey, you may have sabotaged your way. Why do we sabotage? As Marianne Williamson said, it's not our inadequacies that we fear so much, it's our brilliance. That's why we sabotage, because we are shaken in our tin suits or in our scarecrow outfits of hay or in whatever way that we're showing up. We're shaking over what it could be in this next realm, in this next realm. So we're in Oz, and now we're going to Emerald City. But Dorothy seems to be in major excitement around this, except she does fall under the spell. What's interesting is all the characters are us. So Dorothy exemplifies the hero or the heroine on it, the hero or heroine's journey, which is us, right? And she's got all these friends with her. And some of the friends fall asleep and some of them don't. So what you might notice is the fleshy ones, the mammals, are the ones who fall asleep, right? The one made of straw and the one made of tin stay awake. And so always it is true for us, even when we're physically sleeping, that our heart and our brain are working, right? And also true for us is that there's always the very highest part of us that never sleeps. The divine in us never goes away. It never sleeps. It never falls privy to the seduction of distraction or numbing behaviors or whatever we allow ourselves to do to bring us out of the reality of Oz, the realm of Oz. Whatever it is that we choose, the divine doesn't sleep. That Christ consciousness is always there. Never goes away. So Glinda is always there. And so when we fall asleep, what happens? Here comes the snow from Glinda, right? A lot of times we have no clue, right? Where grace has come in. We just know something really wonderful just happened to break us through to the next dimension or to the other side or to awaken us again. And sometimes we're really clear and we can feel it and we know it, that there's some that are that we have reawakened to our own divine nature. Either way, it's pretty wonderful, right? Whether it's by grace or by our conscious awareness that we come back onto the path and onto the journey. And one of the things about falling asleep is, you know, it's important that we don't beat ourselves up about it, you know, because that just makes things worse. Shame will just make us go down that spiral, like down the drain space, you know, and we don't want to be there. It's more of a self-compassion or empathy to say, oh, look at that, you know, I kind of got off the path there. I reached back into those old habits that used to work for me to kind of numb things out when I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. But that doesn't work for me anymore. It's sort of like, you know, I busted out my own game and I can't do it anymore because we become cumulative more and more and more awakened along the journey. And when we get to a certain point, we try to, as the Baptists would say, backslide, but we can never really backslide all the way back to where we once were. You know, it's good news, right? Yeah. We're always at another level of reaching the Emerald City, of exposing the wizard, of recognizing the good witch within us, the truth of who we are, the magic in us, the ability to move through. So whatever it is in your life that might get in the way, just to look at it for what it is. And it's easy in our collective society, as we began to talk about with consumerism, to kind of all fall into that, you know? So technology becomes the wave. You know, do you remember when we used to say, he or she is really plugged in? And what we meant was plugged into spirit? Now if you say that, everybody thinks you mean plugged into devices, right? Even people who are consciously on a spiritual journey, it seems, because it's so much a part of our lives. And so it's not that technology, of course, in and of itself is a wonderful thing. It's just it can lull us. It can distract us. You know, I've gone to these technology webinars, and they're like, you need to have Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and a website, and you need to be on them a lot, and you need to be, and it's just like, oh, my, you know, I can't do it all, you know. And so we have to prioritize according to our values and use the tools as we want to support that which we are on, the journey, the prioritization of our values, to allow that to drive us, the spiritual qualities that we are bringing forth, and to see how can technology be our friend to help amplify that, not how can it lull us to sleep. It's an important distinction, so we can ask ourselves that when we find ourselves using such things. You know, I do these nature immersions every quarter, and often people will ask me, can I bring my camera, can I bring my journal, can I bring my drawing papers? And my answer is always, will it distract you? Will it enhance your experience, or will it distract you? Only you can answer that question. But if it will distract you, please leave it at home. And if it will be there as a tool for you because you had some insight and you want to journal a little bit about it rather than sit there and spend your whole time journaling and distracting yourself from being, which is the point. So it's kind of that kind of question for ourselves. You know, what am I running from something? Am I not allowing myself to drop in to my feeling or my memory of what this journey was about? What was I up to anyway? What was I embodying? What was that spiritual quality, like in our meditation, that came up for me as something that I really want to be focused on right now to bring into the foreground? You know, and it is when we get close, it's right when we're on the cusp of our dreams coming alive and really manifesting that thing that we get kind of cold feet, right? We may not even be aware of all that because there's all this subconscious and unconscious activity. So it's about awareness, and that's what the waking up piece is all about. We wake up and we realize what we're doing. Ah, I see. So it is these pieces that in our culture and in ourselves, how we deal with money and time, which are also tools, but can so easily become the object of our existence. And so it's just to be careful of that, so that it's not that those things are just tools. You know, money is energy. That's all it is. We've given it so much. And all this limitation and scarcity that we do with it, and the dance of we're in scarcity and we're in abundance and we're in scarcity. I mean, we do it in this community over and over, right? We loop through. We're in, oh, no, we don't have enough. Oh, okay, now we have enough. Oh, no, we don't have enough. You know, anybody go through these cycles personally? Because we go through them here as a community. So instead, if we could just grab a hold of what it is, it's like it's just energy. It's just a tool, nothing more, nothing less. It's a valuable tool, fabulous. So we use it for good. We get clear on our values and our priorities, and we say, I give to that which gives to me. I give to that which inspires me, which keeps me on the yellow brick road. I give to that which keeps me going toward the things I want to manifest, most of all, self-realization, right? With a big S, the essence of who we are. So yes, of course, we're going to want to fall asleep. Yes, of course, we're going to get cold feet, because it's a bit scary at times, this unknown. But think about Dorothy. You know, she's, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 or something like that. And she's so courageous. She just keeps going on, not knowing, you know, lions and tigers and bears, what she's going to find in the forest, not having any food or water. You know, I just think of these practical things. It's like off on this long journey and making friends with a tin man and a scarecrow and a lion, for God's sakes. You know, it's just like, you know, this is us. This is our journey. So to look at it in this way brings a little humor in, you know? And if we could bring a little humor to the things we get so serious about, we can just start to open things up. Ah, that's just my lions and tigers and bears tape going, you know? I'm not afraid, really, because Glinda, the good witch, the essence of me, the divine in me, never leaves. Plus, we've got great friends on the journey. I mean, Tin Man and Scarecrow doing everything they can to wake up their friends that are sleeping. What do you do to wake up your friends when they're sleeping? You know, when they fall into spiritual slumber, are you, you know, we can form those kinds of friendships where we really get that for each other. You know, I am going to nudge you when you fall asleep, and I want you to nudge me, even if in that moment I say, hey, what are you doing? Because if we kind of make those pacts with each other and have that kind of spiritual companionship, it makes the journey so much richer, so much more fun, you know? So part of it is that, just looking at how can I support myself from not going to sleep, or to support myself to wake up when I do, and be kind to ourselves when we do. Because the truth is, when we wake up after slumbering, everything looks different, right? So there is like, actually comes sometimes falling asleep is not such a bad thing. Because the waking up is awakening again to the dream, like Dorothy had the Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And she it's like remembering it again, that we sang it again today. It's remembering it again. Oh, that's right, my dream. Somewhere over there. And look, now I can even see it. Now it's like close enough to almost reach out, or at least a short run away. And so what happens in the story next is valuable as well. You know, where they come to that threshold. That in the hero or the heroine's journey, there is this threshold that we need to cross. And then each time we need to cross a threshold, there may be some more trials or final trials. So that's where we're headed. And so to look at and to understand the ways in which we might get stopped along the way is important. And then to be reminded by Spirit again, oh, I see, that's my journey. One of the ways that I got stopped on my journey when I went to Kansas, I literally was called to Kansas, not to ministry, to Kansas. Literally, that's how Spirit got my attention to get into ministry. So I can relate to Dorothy in reverse in a way. And so I got there, and I had given up my home and my job, which I really loved, and my relationship looked like it wasn't going to work out anymore. And so that was a lot to give up. You know, my family lived in Chicago. And so off I went because I was guided to go. And then I got this little apartment, and looks like I'm probably going to get a job at Silent Unity, the prayer ministry, and, you know, the salary is quite, well, it's... it's about the prayer, not the money. Let's put it that way. That's right. It's an exchange of energy. And that was the lesson I was about to learn. So I was out walking with my little dog, quite literally. I'm not kidding you. I didn't have ruby slippers on, but I might have red tennis shoes on. And I was the loop was starting, you know? You know the loop? You know, so you've already done it. You've already moved to the next realm, and then it's like, uh-oh, what did I do, you know? Beginning to fall asleep, you know, in that field as I'm walking and slowing down and thinking, what, you know, what am I going to do with, you know, am I going to be able to live on this? And like, I don't even really know anybody here, and why did I even do this? This is so crazy. I mean, I, you know, and I'm beginning to think of what I left, and then all of a sudden I see this shiny thing, like really shining in the light. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I pick up this coin. And it says on one side, it's got an eagle with its, you know, wings spread out. And it says, freedom. And I flip it over. And on the other side, it says, no cash value. Thank you, Spirit. Got it loud and clear, you know? And don't we love it when the signs come in that really tangible way? It's like, I can put this on my altar and look at it every day. It's for real, you know? So it's that kind of thing that blows the lid off our limitation, that blows the lid off that kind of sleepy, drony kind of loop that we get into and breaks it. And so when we don't get a shiny coin or a billboard or whatever it is that comes to kind of the spiritual 2x4, as we used to say, we can just, you know, do it for ourselves. Recognize, oh, I'm going down that road again. Or with our spiritual companions who can remind us, no, come on, you're following this. This was put on your heart. Just stay with it. And that feels to me like what the Tin Man and the Scarecrow are doing for the others. And so they all get there, they get to the threshold. And at the threshold is yet another hurdle, you know? It's like, darn it, this journey, you know? Sometimes it's like we just want to run right home into the next realm, but over and over there's sort of these hurdles. And so, and this is a real classic one, it's the gatekeeper. Right? It's the gatekeeper of the kingdom. It's the gatekeeper at this next level. And so at the gate, and of course it's the wizard in disguise, he's saying, you know, that they can't get in and, you know, and so on. And Dorothy, you know, she doesn't bully her way in. She's not about force, but she is about complete honesty, you know, just she's just an open heart, an authentic being. And she starts to cry. You know, she's come so far. She's gone through so much. You can see the kingdom. You can, like, taste it. You're almost there to the realization of that which you have dreamed about manifesting and tried to sabotage yourself along the way, but Spirit said, get up. Let me throw some snow on you. You're going to keep on going. And you get there, and then it looks like the gate's going to get closed on you. And she just starts crying, and she goes, you know, I need to see Auntie M. I don't know if she's sick, but I feel like I really need to see her. I need to get home. And as she cries, the wizard's heart melts. Well, the gatekeeper's heart. And he says, well, I had an Auntie M once too, and he starts crying, you know? And then he lets them in. And what do they enter now as they've moved through is this realm, the Emerald City. It's bright green everywhere. It's alive. It's like the natural world, and yet everybody is singing the merry old Land of Oz, and they're all working together and serving together, and there's this sense of harmony and love and joy throughout the land. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is in comes, you know, this adolescent girl, a dog, a lion, a man made out of tin, and a man made out of straw, and nobody looks funny at them. You know? Nobody gets uncomfortable or backs up or, you know, grabs their purse. Seriously, it's this kind of, you know, craziness that we do, right? But at least if we notice it, at least if we're aware, that's the first step. It's the first step to breaking down these kinds of barriers we've created for each other. And to move into a place like Emerald City where people link arms and do with joy and welcome in all the strangers and the people of the many colors and forms and ways of expression. I mean, isn't it beautiful, our diversity? It's so beautiful. And so when we can get with that and recognize in us, we might have work to do where we have our own prejudices and biases come up. We've all got them. And we've got them collectively. And so it's an opportunity for us to look, to awaken, to see, to educate ourselves, and to break through so we can be in that kind of utopia that Emerald City offers us. Emerald City is a place of green, so it's a place of aliveness, it's a place of nature, it brings us back to our natural selves, it's a place of abundance. And so here we are now on the journey. We've broken through the barriers. We've reawakened. And we've reawakened with a new kind of resolve. We're in this new place. And in Emerald City, it's kind of like what Joanna Macy calls the greening of self. Joanna Macy is a depth ecologist and Buddhist teacher. And she says the greening of self is moving from the ego self to the eco self. And the eco self gets that we're all in this together. The eco-self looks like the green of the planet, you know, the aliveness of the planet, and gets that all living things are worthy of our attention and our care and our love. So it's in that kind of realm that we've now entered on our journey. And I know, like, if you're like me, I want to hang out here, right? Maybe I don't want to go home after all. I kind of like Emerald City. But yet, Dorothy still has the pull. And there's still a pull now for the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion to get their heart and their brain and their courage, even though they've already got it. So this is where we're left on our journey. And if we could, you know, look around with a new perspective here, what we would see is a horse of a different color. Remember the horse of the different color in Emerald City? Yeah, so every clip-clop, it goes a different color, you know. It becomes purple and bright green and bright red and orange. It's like a rainbow horse. You know, just when we thought we knew how things work, just when we thought we'd gotten to that point where we had worldly wisdom and we had a sense of how things operate and we got kind of confident with things, that's when we enter into these places where everything shifts into delightful surprise. And so this is the realm now of delightful surprise. So as we enter this week, allow yourself to be awake and alive in this new realm. Begin to see with new eyes, horses of a different color everywhere. How delightful. If a psalmist could kind of give us a little verse to sum up this particular message, it would sound like this. Awaken. Cross the field of poppies in snow. Enter the gates of the pearly Emerald City. Whatever you do, don't fall asleep. And so we are awake, alive, alert to our spiritual commitments. Yes, let's say that together. Thank you. Let's speak this affirmation. I remain awake, alert, and steadfast in my spiritual commitments. So it is. Thank you.